You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Welcome wherever you're joining us. It is going to be a great day to hear the Word of God. If you can, why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to pray as we get into the Word of God today. God, I thank you that you're good. I thank you that you have something so personal for every single person that's listening to your voice, listening to your heart. I pray that it would challenge them, it would change them, it would awaken the possibilities of who they are, but even more, who you are. Lord, let it be so real to them that it brings hope where there's hopelessness, that it brings direction where people feel lost. And right now, we just ask that every voice that tries to exalt itself against the name above every name must be silent. We are ready to receive everything that you have for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, hey, my name's Mark and I'm part of the team here at Kingdom City. And we are in the middle of our why series. Why is such an important question for us to ask? Why do we do what we do? Why do we say what we say? And today we're going to talk about why tithe. Why tithe? It's like most of the things that God has for us. It's never an obligation. It's always an invitation. The tithe is the first 10% of our increase, Scripture teaches us. It's that separation of the first 10% and saying, God, I trust you. I trust who you are more than I trust anything else. But the beautiful thing about God is He's never asking for something to take. He's actually always asking to give. In Malachi chapter 3, we see the promise of God in full effect in a way that supersedes even what you think God is capable of and how he wants to bless you. So his blessing is so profound. Malachi chapter 3 verse 12, it says, "And all the nations will call you blessed." I love that. That it's not just your family will call you blessed or the person next to your spouse. It's all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. That's God's nature on display for you. It's God's heart of what he wants to share with every single person that steps in. Well, I guess you could call it the pathway to the promise. The promise is, I want to bless you. The promise is, I want to make it so profound, I want to make it so demonstrative that the people all over the world will call you blessed. See, that scripture in Malachi is a reflection of God's promise to a new people. We call them the children of Israel. They're God's chosen people. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's God's heart. And what I love about the invitation that God has given to you and I is the invitation to be a blessing to all of humanity. If you're a follower of Jesus, what the tithe does is it unlocks the promise so profoundly that God's plan is made manifest. Let me explain what was happening when God started this journey with this group of people. He started it with Abraham, the father of this nation, and he gives them promises. He gives him so many promises. And the reason why he wants that to be so is he wants to pour a blessing out to all of humanity. He wants to show them how good he is. Really what he wants to do is take a group of people that reflect his character, that reflect his heart, that reflect his kindness. So he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a group of people in a time of absolute chaos when God makes this promise to Abraham and he says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What he's actually doing is creating a system, creating a people group that reflect who he is. So there's chaos in all of humanity at the time. The rich ruled the poor, the strong oppressed the weak. sexes over through men subjugated women. And God says, no, that's not who I am. That's not my nature. My nature is to empower those people that are feeling disconnected. It's to put the lonely into families. It's to make sure that the oppressed can get set free. So he says, I'm going to pick a group of people and I'm going to create a pathway. I'm going to create a pathway to the promise. This is my promise. I want to bless all of humanity. And rather than just saying, hey, I'm going to do it on my own, he says, I'm going to take a people group. I'm going to take a group that I say are mine, and I want to bless them so powerfully that all of humanity is to be blessed. I love that promise that God wants to bless you and I. That's the invitation. That's actually what the tithe does. The tithe unlocks the promise. The tithe takes you out of the economy of the world and says, hey, I function under a different economy. It takes the stress and the anxiety attached to finances and say, hey, I won't subject my family to that type of thinking anymore. I function in a different space. God is the ruler of my finances. And that's the faith that we can have in God. I love the fact that we can say, God, I have faith in your promise. But what I've realized is a lot of us, we call hope faith. Let me explain. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, it says, now faith is the substance. Everybody say substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. They obtained a good story. Let's think about what the scripture here is telling us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what is hope? Let's define hope. Hope is it's a thought. Hope is it's an emotion. It's a dream. And it is so important to have hope. But hope isn't what pleases God. Faith is. Many of us have hope in God's promises. We have hope. We have the dream that God's will be manifest in our lives. We love the idea that God is able and willing to step in. But there's a big difference between hoping in God's promise and having faith in God's promise. See, faith is substance. Faith is quantifiable. Faith is transferable. Faith is accountable. So when we say, hey, we have faith in God's promise, there actually always has to be an action. There always has to be something that I can point to and say, hey, I believe that God is good. I believe that God is faithful. Let me show you the action that correlates. That's why James says, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. For faith without works is dead. What he's saying is you talk about hope like it's faith. I'm going to talk about my faith like it's an action, like it's real, it's actionable, it's accountable. And so when the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about these heroes of faith, they're not thought leaders, they're action leaders. They're not intent understanders, they're implement understanders. Abraham left his father's house because he had faith in God. Noah built the ark because he had faith in God. You imagine if Noah had hope in God. I hope that God is real, but doesn't have an action towards it. It would be tragic to have a hope in the promise that God wants to bless your family, but have no faith attached to it. See, what is the faith in God's promise? The faith in God's promise is the tithe. It's to say, I don't just dream about God's promise, but I put my weight on it. I'll give you a good example of what this looks like in a really practical way. A few months ago, we had our leaders advance, and it was an incredible time of God's encounter and God's promises and just his presence. It was so beautiful. But before we started the services, we had a few icebreaker games, and it was good fun. On the first night, we got a bunch of our campus pastors together And we had a bit of a competition about who is the strongest campus pastor. We had Pastor Ben Peters from Brisbane, and Pastor Ben's incredibly strong. And then we had Pastor Andrew from Singapore. Now, Pastor Andrew, he's gone through army training, so he's fit. We had Pastor Matthews from Botswana, the African stallion, the hope of the continent. And then we had myself. So they picked us, four of us, and the competition was who could do the most bench presses. I think it was 75 or 80 kilos. So they called us one by one onto the stage to see who could do the most reps. And Pastor Ben Peters got up there and he was unbelievable. He did 24 reps at 80 kilos, just one after the other. And I felt very intimidated. And then Pastor Andrew got up and he did 13, which was impressive. Power to weight ratio, unbelievable. Then Pastor Matthews got up. And I thought to myself, man, this guy, I don't know what he's been doing in the African plains, but he's probably been wrestling crocodiles. He's been hunting zebras. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. Pastor Matthews got up there, held that bar in his hands, and unfortunately, he didn't do one. He could not do one rep, and it was very funny. I got up after there, and I think I did 15. It was a brilliant moment for all of humanity. There was laughter and cheers and. We celebrated together amongst the fans and people afterwards. I'm kidding. But as Pastor Matthews got off the stage, I said to him, Pastor Matthews, what happened? And he looked me square in the eye and said, you wait till next year. I said, what's going to happen next year? He's going, I'm going to train from today. I'm going to get into the gym and next year I'm going to beat you, Pastor Mark. And I said, fantastic. I can't wait. Well, a couple of weeks later, We were having a Zoom meeting and I said to Pastor Matthews, I said, how's your gym going? And he said to me this, he said, I've joined the gym. And I said, Pastor Matthews, that's not what I asked. I asked how it's going, like how many weights are you moving? How many times have you been? And he said, no, I'm going to get there. I said, see, this is the difference between you and me, Pastor Matthews, is I go to the gym 4 to 5 times a week. So when they called me onto the platform to move this weight, I had faith in my ability. You only had hope. See, faith has been under pressure, hasn't it? It's felt the weight of the bar. I had so much faith in my ability because I've been faithful in the opportunity. Pastor Matthews, he had hope. I'm sure when he got up to that bar, he's like, I hope that I'm going to do well. I hope that I can move the bar. I hope that I can do some reps. But there was no faith. There was no substance to it. See, for you and I, to have faith in God's promise, it means that there has to be a move into faithfulness. See, that's what God demands of us. With the tithe, it's not just an idea, a concept of us going through the motions of giving a little bit here, giving a little bit there. No, God says, I want to set parameters out. I want you to bring the first fruit. I want you to bring the tithe, the 10% that belongs to me. That's what faith looks like. You actually can't say, I have faith in God, His goodness, and not be obedient. It's an impossibility. Because the action attached to faith is what faith looks like. So I think the first thing we have to recognize is, do you have hope in God or do you have faith in God? See, God shares His heart to this group of people that have lost their way. They still have hope in God, but they don't have faith anymore. And God writes this letter. It says, I am the Lord, I do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Since that time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees. You haven't kept them. Can you hear God's heart? He's trying to express the current space that they're at. But He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask me, how are we to return? So God writes this in the book of Malachi. He says, guys, you've lost your way. You think you know where you're at because you still have hope in me. They still had hope that God was their God and they were their people, but there was no action attached to it anymore. This grieves God. It grieves God not because he's angry. Many of us feel like God is angry at us because we're disobedient. In fact, I know a lot of people that feel that God could be angry at them because they've disappointed God or embarrassed him, or they've made God feel insecure. But I want you to know something. It's impossible to disappoint God. You are not disappointing God through your disobedience. You are not disappointing God because you perpetuate a cycle that you should have been past. No, that's not God's nature. God's response to that was sending his son. God's response to your sin was his son. It's actually impossible to disappoint God because the truth is disappointment is a byproduct of surprised, of unfulfilled or unmet expectations, isn't it? And how can you surprise a God that knows everything from beginning to the end? He knew who you were before you were even born. He writes your days like an astute author. He's not surprised by anything that you've done. Sometimes if I'm not careful, I think to myself, oh God, you've messed up with me. I'm here at this point again. And God's like, no, I'm not disappointed with you. I actually already have a plan for you, and it's my son Jesus. It's impossible to disappoint God. It's also impossible for you to embarrass God. And you know why it's impossible for you to embarrass God? Because embarrassment is a secondhand emotion, isn't it? It's caring more about what somebody else thinks than what you think. And God doesn't care about what anybody else thinks about you. He only has his own thoughts, and they're good thoughts. Thoughts to prosper you. Thoughts to give you a hope and a future. So you can't embarrass God. You can't disappoint God. And you also can't make God feel insecure. Listen to what it says in Malachi chapter 1. It says, from the rising of the sun, even to the going down, my name shall be great amongst the Gentiles. Can you hear God? He's writing to this group of people and he's expressing, hey, I want you to understand that I will be who I am. Nothing can change that. It says, my name shall be great amongst the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and pure offerings. For my name shall be great amongst the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And it says, but you profane it. In that you say the table of the Lord is defiled. It's fruit, it's food, it's contemptible. You also say, listen to the heart posture of his people. It says, you also say, oh, what weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen and the lame and you bring the sick. Thus shall you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male, but takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished from a great king, says the Lord of hosts. And my name is to be feared amongst the nations. If you don't understand who God is, you might look at this or read this scripture as God is having a bit of a temper tantrum. He's feeling a bit insecure, a bit needy. It's like, guys, don't you know who I am? I'm a great king. Don't you know who I am? It's a bit of, you know, when you meet somebody and they're like, hey, don't you know who I am? I deserve special treatment. This isn't God's heart. He doesn't need us to worship him to know that he's great. Whenever we worship him, it's to unlock the promises that God has already for us. God isn't asking the children of Israel, asking this group of people. He's not asking you and I to be faithful in the tithe to take from us. He's asking because he has something for us. He's saying, I want you to understand that I'm a great king. And the way that I want to express that greatness is through you. What an incredible privilege that this group of people have. What an incredible opportunity that you and I have to be included in God's plan to bless all of humanity. I think we need to increase our perception of what God wants to do in us and through us. And God is saying to them, guys, you've lost your way. You have hope, but you have no faith. You have hope in my promise, but there's no action attached to it. There's no weight to it. See, the tithe wasn't convenient. For this group of people, they would have to bring their tithe, and it looked like livestock. That was their increase. Our increase, far more accessible in a lot of ways. Our increase is dollars and cents. It's, hey, we exchange our service for payment. And God is saying, I want you to bring that first 10%, that first part that should be sacred, and I want you to bring that into my storehouse. For this group of people, some of them would walk for days with their sacrifice. Some of them for hours to bring the best. But over a period of time, they started to think to themselves, what's the point? What's the point of bringing our best? Well, can't we bring what's convenient or what's left over? This is actually what they started to do. Instead of tithing to God, they started tipping God. You know, when you tip somebody, I caught an Uber the other day and it comes up, hey, do you want to give them a tip? You're like, oh, what's the least that I can tip but still feel generous? I think that's kind of how we can treat God sometimes. It's like, what's the least that I can give to God but still feel like I'm being generous? God is like, no, I'm not interested in a tip. I want the tithe. But this group of people are like, oh man, why should I bring my best when I can bring what's left over? So he says, rather than bringing the male, the first, the prime, what about if we bring the blind one, the one that has no ability to reproduce? But God actually is more interested in the transaction of faith. He actually wants to unlock something in our life that is far greater. He wants to unlock his greatness. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me in that you say, how have we robbed you? And then he says in the tithe and the offerings. This is the tragedy of what's happening with this group of people. They're so disconnected from faithfulness that they don't even realize now that they've walked away from the promise. I'm sure there's still a group of people that are like, man, God is still good to us. He's still faithful to us, but they've lost their way. They're like, how have we robbed you, God? Have we taken something from you? But I've often thought, how is it that you could rob God? And what are you robbing God of? Have you thought about that? Were they robbing God of their 10%? Were they robbing God of their money? Are you robbing God of your first, like it's this dollar amount that belongs to God? I don't think that's actually what you're robbing God of. What you're robbing God of is his ability to bless you. See, that's what the tithe is. The tithe is the pathway to the principle. That's why God says, hey, I'm the Lord your God. I cannot change. But if you return to me, I'll return to you. That's what it says earlier in that passage. It's like God is trying to impart. Can you hear his heart? He's like, guys, you're robbing me of my ability to bless you. But not only now are you robbing me of my ability to bless you, you're actually stopping my plan to bless all of humanity. You're robbing all of humanity from being blessed because my idea of blessing them is through you. No wonder God is like, I'm a great king. I'm a powerful king. I'm a God that wants to bring peace and prosperity. I want to be that for everybody else. And my plan to fulfill who I am to everybody is you. And they're saying, God, how are we robbing you? How are we stopping your hand? And God's like, in the tithes and the offerings. In the tithes and the offerings, you're stopping it. says, you're cursed with a curse. But you robbed me in this. In verse 10, it says, bring the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. Can you hear his heart? He's not passive about it. He's so invested in your blessing. He's so invested in the expression of his character for every single person that he stops the communication with all of humanity and says, guys, time out. I need you to understand something. I need you to get back into where I positioned you. I need you to get back into the pathway. I've got blessings for you and you're breaking my heart. I don't think that God is angry with them. I think he's anguished by them. It's like, guys, I love you so much. I care about you so much. I care about people. I care about your city. I care about your nation. I care about your community. And I love them so much that I have a plan, and that plan is to bless you, to prosper you. That's how I want to bless others, but I can't be something that I'm not. I imagine how heartbroken God is. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It's God's impassioned plea to this group of people. Come back to the path. Honor me with the tithe. Bring it back into my storehouse that there may be food, that I may bless, that I may provide. And their response is, I don't even know that we've robbed you, God. I don't know that we've stepped away from the path. God's like, come, can you come back to me? Can I express who I am through you again? And it says three parts of a promise that are unlocked by the tithe. It says, if you bring the tithe into the storehouse that they may be food. And it says, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Three things that your tithe will do for you. First of all, it will provide. It will provide for you, and not provide for you in a stingy way. It says, if you bring the tithe, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing. Can you hear his heart? No wonder God is grieved. No wonder he's anguished. He's like, guys, I want to pour something through you that's going to bless all of you. It's like, I want you to put me to the test. Test me in this. This is the invitation. Test me in this. Put my character on display. Put my care under the pressure. If you want to see faithfulness, be faithful. If you want to see provision, I want you to bring what you have. It will unlock what I have. And I tell you, it's not a fair exchange. When we give God what we have and he gives us what he has, we walk away with way more than we ever take. God says, I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing. I want to pour out, open your heart, open your house, open your hands. Watch what I'll do. It says, so that you won't have room enough to receive it. Why is this so important? Because you were never meant to be the cul-de-sac of his creation. You were meant to be the river. You were meant to flow with his provision. It was meant to come into your hand and through your hand. God is looking for a people group that he can bless so profoundly that it just overflows. I love the fact that God doesn't want to bless you that you can just survive, that you can just pay the bills, but he wants you, I need you to listen. He needs you to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. There's somebody else in your street that's asking, God, I need your help. And he's saying, I want to show you who my people are. Says, I want to provide for you. The second thing that he wants to do is protect you. He wants to be your protection. It says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Whose sake? Your sake. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. This is God saying, I want to be your protection. I want to be your bodyguard. I want to be the one that makes sure that when you work, it produces the harvest that it was created for. See, what is the devourer? The devourer is the spirit of mammon. See, mammon, it promises everything that only God can give you. Mammon promises you with, hey, just a little bit more money, you'll feel secure. With a little bit more money, you'll be accepted. With a little bit more money, you'll have peace. But it promises everything and delivers nothing. In fact, in Matthew, it says you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll either love one and hate the other. What is God saying is, you need to make a choice. That's what the tithe does. It's the choice. God, I trust you. I don't trust money. I believe in you. I'm not taking my security from somebody else, from something else. See, mammon will make you spend money that you don't have. Mammon will make you have a relationship with money through fear. You ever said to yourself, man, if I could just get a little bit more money, all my problems would go away. If I could just get a little bit more money, then I'd have the peace that I need. That's mammon presenting itself like it's the answer. And Jesus says, no, I'm the answer. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Mammon will make you envy and greed. Mammon will change the entire way that you spend money, prioritize money. Mammon will be a horrendous master for you. It will promise so much yet deliver. And yet God's saying, hey, I want to stand and protect you from that demonic spirit. There's people watching this today. There's people experiencing the word today, and you're bound by fear when it comes to money. You're bound by jealousy. You spend money to impress people that you don't like, that you don't have. You're bound by greed. And God is saying, hey, I want to protect you from that spirit. This is what the tithe is. The tithe is deliverance for your dollars. You know what the tithe is? It's like you live in the worst part of your city, the place where crime is rampant, and your front door is wide open and thieves walk into your house. And once these are in your house, rummaging through your possessions, taking whatever you want, then you're going, God, help protect me. And God's like, no, how about I just stand at the door of your house and protect those thieves from ever getting in? Protect your house from those thieves ever getting in. How about I do that? God is so invested in protecting you that he's created a pathway to that promise. He's saying, I want to provide for you. I want to protect you. I want to protect you from that spirit. In 1 Peter, it says the devil, the enemy, he walks around like a roaring lion. He said, be sober and vigilant. Vigilant is to be proactive. Your adversary, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You ever thought who the devil has access to? People that don't tithe. God says, I'll protect you from the devourer. That's his heart. He writes an entire book to a people that he is desperate to bless, desperate to provide for, desperate to promote. And he says, you're stopping me. You're robbing me from being who I am. Return to me. I think a good way to express God's heart is, as a father, I have three children, three boys, Tyler, Luke, and Joel. And they're incredible sons. My oldest son, he's 25. He lives a few kilometers from where I live. And I found this pair of shoes that he loved. and they were kind of limited edition shoes. And I said, I rang him one day and said, mate, I've got a present for you. I know you're going to love this present. He didn't know that I found them. He'd been searching for a long period of time, but he couldn't find them. So I was excited. Now, to know who I am is I love to be a gift giver. I love giving gifts. So I'm excited to give Tyler this pair of shoes. So I ring him and I say, mate, hey, after work, why don't you swing past? I've got a gift for you. And he was like, no worries, Dad, I'll come past. I'll finish about 5:30. I'll be around 6. Well, 6 o'clock came, 7 o'clock came, 8 o'clock came. He didn't come. So I ring him and said, mate, what's going on? I've got this gift for you. He's like, oh, sorry, Dad, I got caught up. I'll come tomorrow. I'm like, okay, no worries, mate. Come tomorrow. You're going to love this. I'm getting excited. So tomorrow came. He didn't come. The next day came. This went on for the entire week. By the end of the week, I was so frustrated. I rang him and I'm like, mate, I've got a gift for you. Can you just come and get your gift? And he's like, settle down, Dad. Don't get angry. I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm excited to give you this gift. I want to bless you. So he eventually comes and he's a bit bemused by it. He's like, Dad, you really got worked up. And I'm like, you got to understand. I've been thinking about you. I've been hoping that you'll come and get this gift. And so he walks in and I give him this gift and I'm excited, but I'm a bit frustrated now because he could have had it at the start of the week. And he opens this gift and he looks at it and he's pumped now and he's like, Dad, why didn't you tell me? I was like, mate, I've been telling you all week. I think that's a little bit like God. In fact, I think it's a lot like God. All I wanted to do is bless my son. All I wanted to do is give him something that I knew he would love. But in his indifference, he put it off. All he needed to do was come to where I was. Can you feel God's heart? All he wants you to do is come to where he is. He's got something so profound for you. There's people here that you have hope in God's promise, but there's a lack of faith. There's a lack of action attached to it. And God is saying the same thing that he did in the book of Malachi. Come back to me, return to me, and I'll return to you. Don't rob me. Don't rob me anymore. Don't rob me of my ability to bless you. This is what you could do. You could tie God's hands behind your back. But today, as we close, I want to pray for two groups of people. There's the first group of people that are about to start their journey of tithing. You're about to step into the pathway, and I'm going to ask that God help frame your thoughts in a way that provides the protection that you need to start the journey of obedience. That he's going to rebuke the devourer, because it's going to take a step of faith. If you've never tithed before, it's going to take the ability for you to hold on to the promise. Then there's another group of people, a group of people that have been faithful. Man, you have been believing God. I want to pray that the awareness of God's protection, his provision and his promotion on your life changes how you look at yourself. That no longer is God just providing for you, but he's providing through you. So we're going to pray against that spirit of mammon, that it will not be able to create your thoughts anymore. That it will not have rule over your family anymore. So I ask you, if possible, if you can stand to your feet. Lift up your hands. If you're standing next to your spouse, I'd love for you to hold that hand because we're going to pray this together. If you're about to start the journey of the tithe, of faith, that it be something that changes every aspect of who you are. So Holy Ghost, I thank you that you're good. I thank you that your plans towards us are yes and amen, that you chose a group of people that reflect your heart and your nature. I come against every spirit, every demonic spirit of mammon that will cause people to live in fear, jealousy, greed, envy, strife. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would send your protector to stand in that gap to change how people see themselves and see you, that you are a good God, that you are not disappointed with them, you are not angry with them, and you are not insecure, demanding something in order to take, but it's always an invitation, never an obligation. And I ask right now that you would just give people such a peace as they step into that pathway. God, why do we tithe? Number one, because you asked us to. Because it's your plan and it's your pathway to that promise. God, for every person that has been faithful, I ask that the revelation of who you created and called them to be is beyond just surviving, just paying bills, but it's to be the conduit of blessing for all of humanity. I ask that even this week, as people give faithfully, that you will give them the chance, give them the opportunity to bless people around them beyond what they've asked, thought, or even imagined. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for the opportunity to come and bring our tithe to you, bring that first fruit to you, multiply it in every hand, in every campus, in every family. The last group of people I want to pray for is people that have never experienced the love of God. God's heart for you is always to give you a place where you belong. Jesus came and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're lost. Jesus is here to say, I'm the way. Maybe you feel like there's lies that are in your head that have tried to define who you are. Jesus says, I'm the truth. Maybe you feel that you're not living life. You're existing. Jesus has come to give you life and life to the full. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you did and you walked away, you gave up on God, I've got good news. God never gave up on you. He's calling you home today. So I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer to express this step of faith towards God's faithfulness. So if you can, I'd love you to say these words. Jesus, I give to you my sin, my shame, my hurt and my pain, my past and my present. In exchange, I receive your love, your forgiveness, your future and your hope. I am yours and you are mine. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.